Okay, then.
Is it showtime?
What do we do about this enlightenment business?
Not a damn thing.
There you go. Meeting adjourned.
What are we going to do? Nothing.
When are we going to do it? Never.
How hard are we going to try? Not at all. Well, we eat snacks.
Thank you.
There's definitely just a slowing down and almost like a disinterest in a lot of things here.
Yeah.
But not disinterest in, like, I like doing nothing than I ever have. Hanging out with those kids, and granted, they're always kind of doing something, but
yeah,
they know how to be, like, just where they are.
Yeah.
They're amazing with that. Really amazing.
Yeah.
They're just like, it's just like a party everywhere they went, because they're like, stones, red tipple, oh yeah. You know, picking it up. And, like, they just found stuff everywhere they went. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it takes just a couple minutes for the notion that you know everything to creep in.
Mm.
And then nothing is novel any longer. Isn't that curious? Novelty, which is so prevalent in their experience all day and night long, for us, you know, has turned into... obligation?
You turn everything into
same old, same old. Have I become same old, same old? I can't run into the woods and, you know, pick up sticks and play with rocks or knock down a dead limb or climb a tree or scream, you know. No, I have to, you know, go to Starbucks and do paperwork or something.
You kind of new frappuccino.
Really.
I think the proliferation of chains and sameness across the U.S. with all the... like, it's kind of a reflection of that, I think.
Sure. The church is a little bit like that.
Say more.
Well, you can travel all over the world, right, and go to a...
a Catholic Mass and get the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
Same thing with 12-step meetings.
Yep.
That's like one of their big things is you can get this, you know.
You're right.
You want to keep it the same.
Yeah. That's nice.
A little structure, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
But that, I think the measure of how much it serves is how much space it's open to just newness in the what it's holding, kind of.
Peaceful exit. Was that? I'm laughing at Nan's book. Because my whole day was just the least graceful thing ever.
You can remedy that.
My whole being is
sweet
so
potato chips.
Not
this
can
take
graceful. My dog and me were just destructive tornadoes.
You don't want to bruise up.
Well, that's because it's not damage to us. Everyone else. These are crunchy.
Yeah, they're real crunchy.
The same thing he said.
They're loud. You know, I didn't know them.
I'm not to put the volume up. Look at this guy. He looks like a jester.
Mm.
I love that.
Mm.
I love the hat. What is that? Who is it? Kayabi Lin Rinpoche. I love the hat. You can tell he doesn't take himself seriously.
Who did you see? What's her name?
Who?
Yeah. Just to look at her and get like in line. What the hell was that book about?
Oh yeah, Ananda Maya.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks pretty cool.
Where did this book come from?
I found it downstairs. It looks interesting.
How great beings die.
It's got great pictures.
Well, I can't imagine my grand exit's going to be more graceful than my stolen rounds.
No, we'll be sprinkling terra chips on your coffin.
Fred will be sucking them up.
Maybe strap a bomb to myself or something.
Yeah. We don't want to put that over the airwaves. And I can hear the choppers.
Especially this week.
Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Don't make any jokes. Be pious. Shut the fuck up. Exactly.
No gallows humor. No garbage.
No.
I wish I could do those things, because I would just, that's what I tell myself all day long, but instead I'm like, hey, fuck you!
Yeah.
Don't say fuck you! Fuck you!
I know.
Don't make a scene. I'm making a scene. Damn it. I can't win.
No. No, you can't. You can't win.
Look at your collar.
Why
you say that?
If the goobers in that book can't win, then we're sure as hell not going to be able to win.
Well, they at least had a graceful exit.
Yeah. Your book will say ungraceful.
Just a picture of me and Fred.
We'll be both wearing those Tibetan hats. Hey.
How to be completely and totally not graceful.
Well, it comes down to a question of the immediacy of the texture of prana. It's real simple. We, you know, negotiate with and bargain with the content of thought and events and circumstances and planning and brooding. And when that's occurring, it's, you know, the prana field is, you could say, acting out. And rather than withdraw from it, we cling to it, reason with it, bargain with it, make promises, you know, try to out-assert our own assertion. Mm-hmm. Through logic, through reason, through emotion, through memory. So. And the trap door out what would you say? Somehow you learn, feel texture of your own experience, the movement of awareness, the movement of attention, the movement of content, the movement of prana, and you withdraw from it. You just withdraw from content entirely, which is a very different yogic gesture than remaining in it to win it.
Try to negotiate with a toddler all day long?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a toddler.
Yeah.
Right? I'm an angry, recalcitrant, you know it all, mean, revengeful toddler. And I'm trying to, you know, conduct myself in an adult manner. Like, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yep.
Right.
I'm laughing at my toddlerness, like, being here.
There's a natural kind of exhaustion that occurs, not an exhaustion as fatigue, but exhaustion of interest. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Well, on that little conversation that Paul Hederman had with, you know, the Joey Lott Goobers. Mm-hmm.
Paul Hederman had a conversation with him?
Yeah, yeah. There's a video up on their website where they actually invited Paul to talk with them.
I saw it on Jamie's Facebook posting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe Beth picked it up. She ran it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, here we go.
I somehow removed my consciousness from Facebook.
If you, you know, you listen carefully to his very poignant pointers. He simply reinforced you'd lose interest. I mean, how simple. No negotiation, right? No refinement. You just lose interest in that field that occupies you as a, right, as a thought wave.
I'm getting really familiar with the field's focus points that seem to be really good ways to get my attention.
Uh-huh.
Like, as I start to lose interest, it's like, oh, no, but we're going to really ramp it up in this area. And I'm so familiar with the areas that get me.
Yeah.
And getting very tired of them. It's like this again. Like, you used to say, like, come on, we've already had this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, as we become sensitive with this quality of mindfulness, you hear twice, maybe even more than that, but at least twice. The first hearing is instinctual and received without commentary. But then you tell yourself. You see, you use internal dialogue to report to yourself what you've already seen as a perfect holographic picture. Mm-hmm. We actually exist, not that we do, holographically, without time, without space, as an instantaneity of, you know, call it pattern assertion. Then we tell ourselves what we just felt, just saw, just thought, just realized. And not everyone is kind of even familiar with that as something that occurs in what we call mind. Well, a little bit of mindfulness training, you can see how, wait a second, I know. Right, pretty much all day long, as you're thinking, you can say to yourself, and legitimately, I know, I just thought that. But the original thinking that you're doing is holographic. It's non-dual. There's no intervention. The second round is when you tell yourself of what you just recognized, and so you repeat it internally. Yeah, so you could say all rumination is of the nature of a echo delay. All rumination is echo delay. Because you've already seen it in its holographic perfection, non-dually, atemporally, and then you report to yourself.
It's like reverb.
Yeah, so you're, that's right. Your rumination is reverb, echo delay. That's all it is. That's pretty strange. But, I mean, we can get lost in echo, delay, reverb, pretty much all day long, all night long, right, in so-called waking state, sleeping state, deep sleep state, whatever the hell. Absolutely drunk or lost in echo, delay, as if that is what's conveying reality. The withdrawal or disinterest in the repetitive nature of echo delay of living metaphorically, living with implication, living anecdotally, living hypothetically, living hysterically, just simply withdraw. What is it that withdraws? You know, it's not, that's not characterizable as an identity, right? The basic profundity of experiencing is not really characterizable as an identity. At a minimum, You could say it's just felt sense.
Look.
Yeah. I have to be bothered by something. Yeah. Yeah. Your primary experience or experiencing, your primary interface is felt.
And then the echo is the mental version of that.
Yes, echo delay. Echo delay is the commentary, which is, you know, contrived. Echo delay is all contrived. It's a way.
Torturous.
Yes, and torturous. Absolutely, yeah. It's a way of, you know, predicting, managing, controlling, arguing with your version of reality. Mm-hmm. As events and circumstances please or displease you.
Yeah, I was dreaming one early morning where I kept falling asleep and waking up, and I would be like in the middle of the dream, and I'd find myself waking up, and I'd be like talking, you know, in my head. It was just a very apparent that sort of evaporation, and then back into a dream, and then it was, I don't know if it's ever like that in waking. It was definitely very distinctive, you know.
Yeah, like those bozos that were interviewing Hederman, Joey Lott, and his fellow orbs. It's like they paraphrase.
Orbs?
Yeah.
Luis?
Yeah, Luis. Luis is one of them.
Luis,
yeah.
L-U-I-S.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he reminds me of, that actor, Rubisi. What's his name, Rubisi?
Oh,
has the same voice, kind of a nasal
Giovanni.
Yeah, he's got the same voice and mannerism as that actor. Yeah, Lewis is cool. So you see, if you begin some kind of exposition with "in my experience," you're fucking lying. You're contriving it. You can't really report with any, you know, authenticity about what your experience is. You can only, if you're reporting on what you think your experience is, it's a contrivance. It has to occur dualistically, in contrast. It needs an antagonist and a protagonist and space-time and the pillars of imagination for you to be convinced of what is occurring in your experience. Mm-hmm. To be bold about it, you have no idea what's occurring in your experience. You have no idea what experience is. You have no idea who or what it is that may be experiencing experience. You just don't. So someone starts to tell you about, you know, their take on enlightenment, and they say, "In my experience," you're like, "No, dude, it's not possible. It's just not." So on that call, you know, Paul was wise to reinforce for them, maybe just once, this is not an experience. To let them know, you know, you could say to drop the refrain of "in my experience." They're like, no, this is not an experience. You keep backing away.
Though I guess I wonder, and I don't think I can articulate this, when it is sort of being described, it seems like anytime there's words, there's the delay.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, our holographic communion with each other, were there each other. Our holographic communion with our own experience, were there one. It can't be interfered with by words, by space, by time, by concepts.
Yeah.
It's untouchable.
Yeah, so even if you were like in Rumination City or something.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you're an absolute rumination city, you know, dying gracefully or like a toddler, ungracefully, you can't touch what this is or isn't. It's nothing. Yeah. And strangely persistent and strangely corporeal and strangely filled with miraculous sensitivities. Whether through the five senses or the super senses or the effulgence of consciousness itself is like, come on, this is off the charts. you start navigating, you know, what happened to you or what your enlightenment looked like or how it affected your relationships or with food, with my hair, with my spouse, with my car. You know, it's like you're trying to condemn or reduce an ongoing wild miraculosity into a thimble that has to do with what looks like your absurd life. Yeah, sure. Your thankless and absurd life. Useless, thankless, and absurd life. Yeah. And you see how the hook is. I'm always trying to get nourishment or validation from my life. Right? That's the reflex. We look to my life.
Content.
Right? Circumstances, content, well-being, you know, casual or, you know, some other form of intercourse. Whatever it is we're looking for, you know, as a sensual, you know, satisfier of appetite, of meaning, of celebrity, of durability, is all tethered to the imagination of what I think my life is or what I think reality is. So it's absolutely imaginary. Everything we go to as a satisfier is imaginary. And who it is that we're bringing along for the ride to be the enjoyer of that satisfier is imaginary. Imaginary doesn't mean bad or less. It just doesn't. It's just fucking imaginary. It's okay. Right? It's not like it's, you know, it should be locked up.
Well, it could be imaginary on so many levels, too, you know?
It can only be imaginary on so many levels.
Yeah.
It can't be anything other than that.
Like, even if you didn't believe in whatever.
Santa?
Santa, or what being said, or what you, you know, that which you can't speak of, or whatever. I mean, it would still be true on a psychological level, right?
No.
Well, the apparitional aspect.
No. No, it's not true. It's only relativistically.
Yeah.
It only has a relativistic, call it attraction or seduction.
I don't know what we're talking about right now.
That's good. Yeah, that makes four of us. And, of course, those that are watching at home.
If it's apparitional in a grand macro sense.
No, here.
Here.
Okay. Yeah, this is it. This is apparitional. Yeah, not grand macro.
Well, the imagination of a materialistic world with psychological ramifications.
Yes.
Can be
right.
Also imagined.
All the way down.
All the way down.
All the way down.
All the way down. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The entirety of phenomena, what appears to be appearing in phenomena, the apparent boundary fields of known phenomena, the myth of the subjective consciousness that is receiving the phenomena, the objectification of body, mind, moods, senses, beliefs, superstitions, and preferences, all the way down. It's just apparitional. That still leaves you, in a manner of speaking, with whatever this is or isn't. I mean, it hasn't gone anywhere. It's not like we scared it away. You know? You can scare the boogeyman away by turning on the lights or going boo, you know, and then that apparition will flee. This one, you can accuse it of anything and it will not budge.
You can try to sleep it away and always wake up.
Yeah, you can sleep it away, you can drug it away. Some might say you can suicide it away and it still won't let you go.
Yeah.
That's got to be a fucking buzzkill. Or, you know, for the gurus that finally drop the sheath of the body after, you know, long years of thankless insults, are like happy. You know, they don't have to talk to anybody anymore. They don't have to convince anybody of enlightenment. And nobody's coming to them for favors. It's like, thank God. They've been hounding me for 50 years. I made the mistake of getting on a soapbox once and going, hey, check this out. After that, it was downhill.
Yeah,
people started asking me, oh, yeah, let's check it out.
You make sure it pisses people off. Just
yeah, I want a daughter. I want to win this legal thing. I need money. You know, revive my husband from the dead. I mean, you know, the demands that we place on consciousness to satisfy our own imaginary right needs is insatiable.
Well, what it does is it causes you to completely miss everything that's here. You have everything right here.
Could be that. Could be. What if it were an abundance that was so abundant there was no one around to care how abundant it was? You know what I mean? Like, what would immeasurable abundance feel like? Right? And so if your so-called subjective consciousness leaves you alone, so this weirdness doesn't necessarily end or go away. It doesn't run away scared of you. It's not going to run away scared of us, for fuck sure. But you could say the seduction, the most subtle seduction that you engage with whatever this is as a subjective experiencer. Bam. Done. You've got nothing left. You really have nothing left. So, you know, many of us wishing for awakening and things like it, you know, whatever, you know, snacks and stuff we're after, they can only function within, right, a field of idolatry, a field of apparition. Mm-hmm. Because they have to benefit you as a consciousness, embodied or disembodied, as a body, embodied or disembodied, right? Something has to benefit you so that you can enjoy the myth of your durability as an enjoyer. You love being an enjoyer. Why is it so hard to wake up? We love being an enjoyer. Come on. Because wake up, whatever that might mean, don't look at me. You know, call Paul Hederman if you want to know what it is. Or Joey Lott. Then you'll get a mouthful. In my experience.
Well, it's because of what happened to his wife and that salt and all that kind of stuff.
I know, yeah, there's so much.
Yeah.
I know. ADHD, and I was picked on in the parking lot, you know.
His wife turned back and she became a pillar of salt.
A lot. Yeah, that was a bummer.
Yeah.
That's
what you meant.
Betty, don't turn around. you're a pillar of salt.
What's this?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, maybe they're related. I mean, maybe there's a...
Oh, Joey?
Yeah, the lineage.
Yeah, that could be. Joey Lott could be. Yeah, he could be the bastard offspring of the woman that turned to salt. Now it makes sense. I have to cut him a break. If I knew that, I would have, yeah. You know, I would have never taken him so seriously. Yeah, he's just the bastard offspring of a woman that turned to salt. That's cool. So if there's a thing called waking up, and there appears to be, but we still don't know what it is, no matter how many saints have lived and died, we still don't know what the fuck it is, right? I mean, a lot of saints have lived and died in cultures all over the so-called planet that have espoused, right, epiphanic relationship with the Godhead, and you need to hear all about it. We still have no idea what this is. No, they haven't helped. Jesus didn't really help, right? If Jesus walked into the Vatican, they would hang him again. Yeah, and he knows it. That's why he's... and he's been seen at Panera. He's not going to the Vatican to try that again. You know, it's like, fuck them. I'm not... No, they're going to put me on the cross again. I think I'll just... I will chill out at Panera. I'll have that nice avocado and kale salad and see if anyone shows up. Because he's not that stupid. That really hurt the first time with the crown and the spear and the, you know, the whipping. And it was like, who are these people? Could you imagine Jesus with all this pain and blood and going on just thinking, who are these people? How did this happen? I was minding my own business. Talking to my good friend. what's his name? That was a bummer. I mean, if we had learned from it, if we had actually absolved our own greed to bask in the ease of the Christ consciousness that had given up its, quote, only son for our benefit, then, yeah, I mean, you know, the earth could be kind of a golden age. Rock and roll might not be the same, but, you know, there's always the good and the bad.
You've got to have a little
bit. Yeah, there's always the good and the bad. Yeah. So you don't want to give up the pedestal that we've adopted as the enjoyer. That's it. That's the first and the last obstacle or obscuration. Yeah. So you think that we continue to want to get a leg up on something like realization as the enjoyer, as the subjective consciousness inhabiting the objectified body. I am the enjoyer. I'm not going to give that up. So if you even get anywhere remotely close to thinking about the utility of going all the way, that's got to be a fucking magical intervention. It has to be. Why is it so rare? Who wants to give up being the enjoyer?
It doesn't feel very enjoyable most of the time, to be honest with you. It's fraught with serious difficulties.
I hear you. I mean, that's not uncommon, whether in the right in the Western industrialized world, where, you know, we might be employed and have a pension. Or in the third world, where, you know, the suffering is unrelenting. Right? The suffering and the abuse, the misogyny, the violation is unrelenting. So you trade one for the other. You know, here I can drive my automobile to work, wear some nice clothes, appear to hang out in a friendly manner with my workmates, take home a paycheck, you know, build up an investment portfolio. Maybe someday I'll retire in Colorado, or worse, Colorado. And still, my experience as the enjoyer, which I will not give up, is fraught with, right? Fraught with all kinds of disappointment and disgruntlement. Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, Oscar Wilde knew it, right? Didn't he have a quote about the only thing worse than getting what you not getting what you want is getting what you want.
It's getting what you want, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to have even the slightest interest in something that might smell like, even if it's, you know, necrotic and maggot infested, enlightenment has to be a magical intervention.
Well, to still be interested in it when you really get it's not going to give you anything. Like, I'm not holding it to fix anything.
No, yeah.
I used to hold it that this is going to be the end all and be all.
Understood. It's been sold that way. It's been characterized that way.
It's like, here we go. We're going to, you know, you're going to try and there's no guarantee that anything will happen. You're not going to get anything from it. Over the coals. And it's just, there's nothing else. There's no other game in town. It's the only thing that's really interesting.
That's an organic process, yeah. Yeah, I mean, no one can fake that.
No, the fact that we're here is totally magical.
Yeah, it's totally magical.
On a really
you
nice
can't,
Thursday night.
You can't fake
four
it.
Four of us decided, I know, yeah. We'll go.
Let's just talk about despair. Pre-adolescent recalcitrant despair. I'm in.
I know. I definitely feel like I'm 15. Like, I got my passport photo, and I'm like, who is that person? I have no idea who that is.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Imposter.
Imposter.
That's me.
Get off my passport.
My government, you tell me it's wrong. This middle-aged person's in my passport.
Yeah, yeah.
You start arguing with them.
Yeah, you start arguing with them.
I'm 15.
Right. Who is that person? Identity theft.
Yeah. Here, I'll send you an updated photo.
So it's at a minimum strange, and stranger than that. If you can't bring your, you know, conditioned sense of self along for the ride, then what do you do? You know, who is it that's interested? Not to go all Ramana Maharshi on it, but...
I thought you were quoting Adam Ant.
Adam Ant?
Adam Ant.
What did he say?
Don't drink, don't smoke, what do you do?
That's right. I was channeling Adam Ant. You're absolutely right. Don't drink, don't smoke, what do you do?
Maharshi.
Yeah. That sounds good.
I always felt like you should, if you got the who together and the Sargadaja, that would have been like, who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are, who are you? Who the fuck are you?
I mean, you go, I am that, you know, like it would have
been. Well, Pete Townsend's guru was, what's his name? Meher Baba.
I didn't even know he had a guru.
Pete Townsend, yeah. major Meher Baba devotee.
Those rock and rollers, they had to have gurus at this age of having your own guru.
Yeah.
Fame and money.
Yeah, what do you do? What agency do you bring along with you to get to the bottom of the end of you?
No idea.
I mean, that, you know, a lot of people don't ask a very kind of simple, obvious question like, so if there is or there isn't space time, if you do or you don't have agency, if, you know, what do you bring along for the ride to apply yourself to the end of yourself?
You can't, because it's just making more self to apply yourself to the end of yourself. I keep thinking if I just stop giving a shit about so many things that seem to cause trouble in my life, that'll do it. And it's just me asserting myself about me again. It's the opposite of what...
Yes. Like, self-thing,
yeah.
is an infinite regression. Yeah. And it can run to very deep and subtle holodecks, making you believe that you've made progress. Yeah.
I haven't made any progress.
Really has none to make, so good for you.
Like
zippity doodah. Yeah, how are you doing on your spiritual path? Downer, fucking nothing.
Absolutely.
Zip. Thanks for asking. Failed. How about yourself? Well, in my experience, yeah, sure. In your experience.
Completely failed.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, boom. If you don't have anything to bring along for the ride, if you don't have any agency, if you're somehow magically, curiously, strangely interested in the end of yourself, then what you really have is total failure. Where you sit, right? I mean, you're dead where you lay. You're total failure. That can creep up on you or, you know, slam you into a wall. And that's the cessation of the enjoying self.
It's kind of like just going limp. It's kind of like, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, stop trying, stop fighting, stop manipulating.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
Yeah, right. You can't reach a conclusion. You can't honestly say, in my experience. Part of the challenge is getting accustomed to not self. On its terms. Getting accustomed to the end of self. It doesn't have to be any kind of cathartic event. no knowledge needs stream in.
I kind of like the curiosity of, but what is going to happen? Like, even in seemingly simple things, like which way is the car going to turn? Like, I can supposedly make decisions ahead of time. I can supposedly make plans, and it kind of looks like...
On tap, yeah.
But
sure.
And there's no sort of pre-canned direction. It's like, oh, what is going to happen? I'm like curious. I ended up here. It's a different way to be.
It's a radically different way to be. To come to the end of yourself, to not imagine being bound by space or time, or memory, or preference, continuity, enjoyment, consciousness even. Now there's no quarrel, you see? There's no vector and there's no quarrel. There's no clinging, and there's not even an aspiration or a reaching.
Yeah.
You could say nearly everything in the, you know, social conformist reality does whatever it can do to undermine your not-self.
But it doesn't have any real power at all.
It takes whatever it takes for us to see through the apparent implications and the apparent shame and the apparent failure of going to total failure. We can get into a hell of a panic, right, when confronted with total failure. Irrelevance. Losing all our mileage points. Yeah.
Well, they try to give you new magazine subscriptions. Right,
yeah.
You're about to lose them. So yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I love seeing Caitlyn Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair. It makes my day. What a marvelous spokesmodel she's turned out to be.
Watching South Park last night.
Oh no. Did they do a Caitlyn Jenner thing?
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, it was kinda ridiculous. I was thinking about that. Kyle was like, I fucking hate Caitlyn Jenner. And they're like, You can't say that. And he's like, No, I fucking hated him before. When he was a man, I just hate that person. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he's a woman. They were just like, You can't say that.
Like,
nobody can say anything bad because it's a transgender issue. And he's like, no.
I love Kyle. Kyle is fearless. I hate Caitlyn Jenner.
No, I just think he's a bad fucking person.
That we could say. We'd be bad.
You cut that out, right?
Nah.
Can't put that online.
Too late.
Nobody's listening.
No one's listening.
No, come on. We're so important. We're a big audience.
This is a singularity.
Everybody's listening. Pope's listening.
You see, so if you approach... some kind of objectified fetish like self-realization from the point of view of how it's going to please you as the enjoyer, right? How it's going to please you, benefit you, right? Sweeten you up as the subjective enjoyer. Then, you're fucked. Because that's not gonna happen. Unless you're Joey Lott, it happens to him. But then again, he's the bastard child of a woman that turned to salt. So, we'll give him a break. But Lewis, we're not going to let off the hook because he's got bullet tattoos. And he's impersonating a famous actor. So that's unacceptable.
Isn't Giovanni Ricci a Scientologist or something?
I didn't know. Yeah, could be.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
I thought he was cooler than that.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. I liked him in the Ted movies.
I didn't see the Tickle
one. Oh, it was great.
The Tickle one was funny.
Oh,
it's kind of retarded, but it's funny.
It's totally retarded,
giant
yeah.
Teddy bears. It's funny.
That was great. Smoking bongs in their attorney's office.
I mean, that was the one with the, what's the guy? The guy that came to party with them, and that's why he had to, like, go.
Mark Wahlberg's in Philadelphia this weekend for the Pope, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
Is he a big Catholic or something?
I guess so.
Who
knows? Yeah. Tell your mother I say hello. Hey, Pope. Tell your mother I say hello.
Yeah. Say hi to your mother for me. Say hi to Mother Mary for me.
Really?
I think the Pope should just go take bong hits with homeless people or something.
Yeah, awesome. He might, yeah. He's rocking progressive.
Yeah.
So this is simpler than, you know, anyone really dares imagine. If prana, right, or attentive energy is wailing on the neocortex, then you're just fucked in a unforgiving field of apparition.
Which is also an apparition.
Okay.
But we sort of work with apparitions anyway.
What else you got? Yeah. There's no real as a destination, as a certitude. There's just effulgent apparition.
You know, it's just what's at hand.
Yes, if anything...
I can't even say in any given moment, because then it's...
It's too strange. we start dismantling the citadels that we rely on for articulating and remaining in some kind of cogent reality. Then it's clear that the language falls apart fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Time is imagined, space is imagined, subjective nature is imagined. Durability of a moment is imagined. Location is imagined. The movement of sensibility, of experiencing, is, well, you could say it's real, but what's so real about it? When we become acquainted with the fuzz, with the plasma. The plasma has a signature, right? It is a fuzzy, it has a fuzzy signature. Isn't there fuzzy logic and stuff like that? Physicists?
I've heard right? that.
Yeah.
Fuzzy logic.
Yeah. So if your actual nature is not defined by a corporeal sheath, space-time, consciousness even. I mean, we're just chilling, right? Right here, whatever here and now is, and we don't know what it is, we're just chilling. And there's nothing is defining. Nothing is imposing upon you. But the fuzzy is still present. The implication of the next apparition is still present. And the sense of the fuzz operating as a subjective consciousness is still present. But if you don't want anything from the suggestion of subjective enjoyer, or from the content that continues streaming at you, then what happens? You just chill in the fuzz. Because you can't get rid of the fuzz. Fuzz are us. But it's possible to have, can we call it a palpable encounter, like now, with this as an inarticulate fuzz.
Here come the fuzz.
Here come the fuzz. Cheese it. Here come the fuzz. Now, this is weird, because as you occupy whatever that suggests, present experience, even though there is none, as fuzz, which is saying too much, then all of these other coordinates, they're non-binding. So if all of these imaginary coordinates of the relevancy of your life, prior to now, now, and after now, are vaporware, then you're not troubled, you're not framed by imaginary coordinates that suggest to you who you are, what you were, what you'll be. And that's wild. That's this. It's fucking crazy. Because all day long, we are convincing ourselves rather actively, if, you know, quasi-consciously, pouring in all kinds of coordinates to tell ourselves stories about ourselves, about what we enjoy and what we don't enjoy, because we're just grooving, even if it's unpleasant, on the myth of the enjoyer.
Yeah. And then who are you going to tell anyway? Because there's nobody there.
Yeah. Who are you talking to? Yeah. I told you already. I know. I just heard you. But wait. Stop talking to me. I can't. But please. Enough already. I said that. It's weird. Right? You're rolling in this bizarre infinite regression of what identity is talking to whom, and there is none.
Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? I'll call myself. No, you won't. I just took the call. No, you didn't. Hey, I said that. I mean, really, when you pay careful attention, humorous attention to the echo, right, delay, the reverb of consciousness, that really is the conversation. Hey, what about me? What about who? When? Where? I just said that. No, you didn't. I heard it. No, wait. That's me. No, it's not. It's me. Hey.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's how you manufacture the coordinates of what you think is happening to you.
Now we got Abbott and Costello.
That's right. Who's on first? Who? When I send a paycheck to who gets it? That's right. Who? Tamara. No, he's in left field. I mean, if you really, really consider, or are invited, you know, by whatever this is, to feel this thing, if you're not bound by coordinates, if you're not busying yourself trying to figure out how you're going to get a leg up on the next moment, if you don't drag with you the myth of your subjective experience as the enjoyer, if you don't drag that along with you from moment to moment to moment to try to optimize what it is you think this is, you're fucked. You're pretty goddamn free. But freedom you can't speak of in this way as an accoutrement, as a positivity, as in my experience. You can't. Frameless. Your present experience is fuzz, less than fuzz. It's fuzzy logic all the way down. It's absolutely coordinate free. Not a lot of need to draw attention to yourself. I mean, if you were really compassionate, you wouldn't say anything to anybody. You know? If you were really compassionate, you wouldn't say, hey, you got to check this out. This is like, fuck. You know, because it's just too weird. Weird for weird. It's too weird for weird. It's too weird for words.
People approach you.
Yeah, that'll be the day. You spend your whole life at Panera. The only person or the people that will approach you are the people that coming from Lenape.
Same people at Panera.
Yeah, the Lenape. They get there on the bus. The Lenape bus.
Lenape.
That's how we get there.
Yes, we are them.
That's what I was trying to say. The moment anything is something or something is anything, you're bound by the delusional implication of coordinates that you substantiate reality as if there were one. And that this reality, due to physics or otherwise, is binding on you. And so all of these, you know, arguments occur. Cogent arguments occur. Hey, wait a second. Hey, wait a second. Hey, wait a second. In my experience, you're like, shut the fuck up. There is no experience. This is so. But go ahead, you know, what is it? What is it that's so? Well, this. Well, what are you talking about? What are you going to apply to your present experience that defines this?
Well, it's funny to think you have a revelation and you're like, oh, I had a revelation or something.
Why not?
You know, but then you're like,
yeah. To recognize revelation,
yeah.
And of course there's degrees, right? Yeah. But to recognize revelation, you end up back in that holographic delay. Yeah. Yeah. Presence is only revelatory and non-revelatory. If there's any reality at all, there's only reality by virtue of the imagination of contrast. Without contrast, without...
Why is that so hard to let go in some ways?
You enjoy being the enjoyer.
I know.
Yeah. No, busted.
No.
Busted. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, this is cool. It rocks. I mean, I know we'd all rather be at the bowling alley, but while we're here, we'll just pretend this is the best place to be. There's nothing to let go of. You're not actually in possession of anything. If it appears as if you're in possession of something, that's just reverb, echo delay. You see, you first have to kind of convince yourself through this holographic non-dual profundity, this holographic non-dual reflex of... I must be holding on to something, right? You're not. You see how you first have to create even a very subtle sense of agency to self-accuse about your so-called condition. Then imagine that there's a different condition other than it, which you simply haven't arrived at yet. So then the question, it's a natural question, why don't I see? Why don't I let go? Why don't, right? I this or that. Yeah. So the instantaneity of anthropomorphization as self, or occupying this as a subjective consciousness, is how instant. Right? It knows no time. It's not. There's no genesis associated with it. Right? People want to know. People ask the Buddha, why this? Why this? How that? How this? Right? It's like, yeah, there's no why, and there's no how. The magical power to occupy the fuzz from the vantage point of subjective elasticity, subjective durability, is just a presently appearing miracle. There's no how. It doesn't know how. It's not like it's withholding any news, information from you. It doesn't know how. There's no safe on this one. There's no combo.
There's nothing buried in the cave with all the answers.
Nothing buried in a cave. Yeah.
The title of like every book, though, is The Secret Life of Something.
The Secret Buried in Your Cave. Yeah. Uh-huh. See, there's no secrets. There really aren't.
This is not a lot of books.
Some guy... Couple three decades ago, whenever it was, Jean Klein was visiting New York, maybe. And some guy who was into like Tibetan dreaming and stuff, you know, like secrets.
Yeah, the Secret Life of the Toltecs.
Yeah, the secret life of the, you know, the Tulkus from Gandharvadesh, yeah. And so he was like, you know, he was like leaning into Jean saying, should we be revealing the secrets? You know, what about the secrets? And John was like, he just smiled and he was like, tell me your secrets. I don't do justice to it, but that was the end of it. It was over.
Well, it's interesting. I was just watching on Netflix a movie called Secrets, but that's a whole other kind of thing.
That's all, yeah, yeah. No, Netflix. Yeah.
That was some hot stuff. First 5 minutes, I turned it off.
Really?
I gotta go next. Whoa.
She just say that in case we watch it.
No, yeah. I did not watch it all. I did look it up on IMDb.
Was it Randy?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
It was like one of those pornos that they try to turn into a movie, and you're like, just make it a porno.
Don't turn it into a movie.
It was French?
If it's a porno, just turn it into a movie.
What do they do? Yeah, really. It was French.
Oh, well, if it was French.
What did they do?
Normal.
I had to turn it off and come immediately to a house of worship. you can sense there's no actual genesis point. Nothing actually began. You can sense the texture, call it that, of inhabiting present experience, right? As a from a subjective lens, as a person or a being or a consciousness or a vector or an agent, yeah, you can sense it. You could say that's the realm where most cogent conformist human myth operates.
Where does it operate?
Somewhere south of Newtown Square. Yeah. The fuzz is absolutely happy being fuzz. Undifferentiable. Undifferentiated. Free even from the myth of consciousness. The fuzz is very happy to be undifferentiated, undifferentiable, and free from the myth of subjective consciousness. But curiously, the fuzz is like, okay, tell me your secrets. And we do. Yeah. It has no preference. So the myth of corporeal durability and all the suffering that accompanies that and undifferentiable nirvana are not two. This operates as a nirvanic field, nonstop, even though nonstop doesn't tell you anything. And in itself, operating as a nirvanic field, unassailable nirvanic field, you can tell stories.
Pretty much what we do.
Yeah, it's just not any more complicated than that. And there are no secrets. There's no hidden cave. There might be hidden caves, but if you go there, you're just going to find fuzz that tells stories. It's like you're not going to find anything other than, undifferentiable fuzz that looks like it tells stories to itself. And then we become the product of this echo reverb, and this imagined, right, consummated reality appears to be independently existent of myself, so that I'm in it as a creature in space-time. Coordinates. Now, it's very strange. It's a difficult, challenging koan to bail out of all of the motives and justifications that you had up to this point for claiming to be interested in something as rarefied as self-realization. The end of suffering, more devotion, more knowledge, invulnerability, get chicks, unless you're a chick that likes guys, get guys, right? Or if you're a chick that likes chicks, get chicks. Or both. Yeah. So, anyone that even has a conversation like this casually, even by mistake at Redner's, you could say has the imagination that there's a thing, that there's a state, that there's a condition, that there's an insight, that there's a revelation of some kind that is somehow going to be valuable to me or the myth of me. And or the, harmonic or the undoing of me. It's unavoidable. I mean, the fuzz dreams. It never ceases to dream. The fuzz never ceases to imply. Cascading implication is infinite. It has no beginning and it has no end. Now, it gets really fucked up that you get to a certain point in your adult life, young adult life, whatever, and you're like, I convinced myself that enlightenment was for me because of this, I paid good money, I did the work, I went to the turnaround house, right, I had an intimate meeting with Wayne Dyer, I even read one of Joey Lott's books, it was that bad. Now, and then we're done. You see, now you're done. None of those motives function anymore. That's troubling. It's not great news. It's troubling because you're out of motive.
Fuck. Yep.
Now, if I'm out of motive, but I'm still not free, right? Because it's easy to suggest that, as if there were free and there's not. But if I'm out of motive and I'm still not free, why am I going to do anything next?
Checkmate.
Right? Checkmate. Yeah, that's nice. Checkmate. Yep. Checkmate. Drop the king. Just drop it. Drop your pants and walk off the board. You've been done. You've been served. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the stuff we've read, right? The marvelous pixelated cathedral of ideas.
So true. I was just thinking that you were in that mind.
Thank you. The juxtaposition of, right, what you've miraculously created from all of your spiritual and secular inputs. Checkmate. So, you see, you're not going to satisfy whatever this is or isn't. You know, as an event that brings your matrix to quiescence. Ooh, not happening. You're done for. You used to like to do kirtan, you know, chant a little Hare Krishna, send love letters to Krishna Das, go to Bhakti Fest. Be polyamorous with gopis. You're a gopi.
I'm like, don't do this. Gopi.
Really?
I've never tried that.
I know. What are we doing here? Let's go. Road trip.
Find a gopi.
Bhakti Fest. Gopis. Yeah, we're on a mission from God now. That other shit was bullshit, but this is happening. See, if you stop framing yourself as a creature of any kind that is the product of things that happened before now, right? The content of self, the content of memory, the content of sentimentality. That's what you take on the road to see that enlightenment might be a good remedy for, you know, for fuck's sake, for this failure. Yeah, but if that goes away, you're motive free. Mm-hmm. And you can't justify your absurd actions anymore. That could be a little sad.
I still like to try, which is really funny. I'm like watching myself.
Yeah.
Really, you're trying to put this together.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. Ridiculous. I have to justify who I am, who I was, and where I'm going to be once this shit goes my way and my ship comes in. Right? This is the nagging sense of a subjective self as the enjoyer insisting on occupying the future. Restlessness, that's samsaric restlessness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want to bust a move on this shit by having our life look a certain way through the secret, tell me your secrets, mm-hmm. You know, the Abraham Hicks, you know, law of attraction, right? We think that we're going to have a good day by participating in co-creating reality. There is no fucking reality. You can co-create from here till, you know, the cows come home, and you will not have co-created a goddamn thing. But I want to keep bringing satisfiers to me. Me the body, me the mind, me the emotion, you know, me the lonely, new age, sensitive guy that's just pining for a soulmate.
God, I hate those.
Right. Or the casual romp with a gopi. I'm good. Yeah. God, I'm not picky. Any way it comes is, yeah. Just wanted to put that out there. Secret, law of attraction. Where is she? She's. Many spine. Where's she's? Where is she's?
Polly.
Really? Where is she's? Yeah. What religion is it where they have harems?
Islam?
I'm joining.
Well.
Do you know the phone number?
Is it Amish or a different culture of sort of similar to Amish?
Mormons?
Mormons. Yeah, Mormons have harems.
Yeah.
They're all real good looking wives too.
You just take, like,
they have the cool.
You know, you just take like sisters. So like
yeah.
You could just have Beth's sisters move in and
it's looking right. It's looking right. It's looking good. Shouldn't the monkeys have a song like that?
Work, you know,
she
and lots of other ways.
Oh yeah.
Sharing.
It's just, yeah.
I think a lot of cult leaders have that. You know, the Manson had his. You know, he had women.
Manson. Trumpa. Charles
Manson.
Trumpa.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Muktananda.
Yeah.
The cult leaders. Is that who you're referring to? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They like to have a hair.
Yeah, Sai Baba. That was boys. Yeah. That's maybe that wasn't a cult because it was boys. Yeah, really. Doppie John sodomized everybody.
I wonder why it never happened to the hair.
I don't know. Well, when you look at, you know, Ananda Maima, I don't think she really cared about that.
No.
I think she was trans yoni.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, look at her again. Ask the picture. Yeah. Ananda Maima, I know that you've passed. Were you trans yoni?
She's not seen that French movie Secrets, I guess. I don't know.
No, that Randy French movie that you even you couldn't handle?
I'll
go back to it.
I just didn't wait too far into it before Nice Guy Saga.
Yeah, really. I didn't really want to cross my secular self with my spiritual self. It just didn't feel quite right.
No, I watched, I don't know why I stopped watching.
You know, you don't have to tell. Yeah.
Good book. Strange.
You find a little space from the demands of rumination. You could say you could settle into the, let's call them the sounds of nature, right? Whatever the natural world is. I mean, of course, our crazy minds is also part of the natural world, but just for fun, you back off from your crazy mind and you start to, right, you hear differently. Maybe that's the ambient, right, hum of sounds in or sounds of nature. But that's not a destination. You see, you're never at or in a destination.
That's how you drive yourself nuts. Because then, you know, 2 seconds later, you're in a different destination, and you're like, I want to be in another destination.
Yeah. When you really look at how the motility of consciousness as attention, as, you know, fuzz telling stories.
You can argue so many different sides of an argument.
You can. That's right. And win each one. We have to, or we learn to become more comfortable, more elastic with flowing implication, flowing ambiguity. The impossibility of actually resting in a destination, resting even in a condition. So if I'm looking for peace, if I'm looking for, you know, relief from my neurotic self, then I objectify that, I fetishize that. So I think, oh, I want peace, or I want ease, or I want something. And it's like, no, it's not possible, because you can't actually be in or occupy a condition. Mm-hmm. So even peace, you know, is a myth. Though you could say, oh, Ananda Maima looks like she's at peace.
She looks like she's been dosed with some heroin.
She was often so dosed. But I don't think it was with heroin.
No, I know.
Yeah, no, you're just saying.
Well, the textural component is interesting. It's sort of like, you know, inner space or something, you know, like that movie, Inner Space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like there's dimensions of texture. And so then, you know, how upset can you get if you're occupying multiple dimensions at one time?
Yes. If the superstructure of, let's call it egoic identity, of preference and durability is relaxed or even comes to some degree of cessation, because you become conscious of nonstop nuance. then, you know, shit changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever we call identity, you know, is going to shift. But this is really fucked up, because if it turns out that human beings, what we call human beings, are absolute, if they turn out to be disembodied, you know, ambiguous luminosity, who are you going to talk to? Who are your friends now? I mean, you can go to a, you know, New Age festival, but you're going to be strangely fulfilled and strangely alone. Mm-hmm. You know, fuck you, self-realization. Strangely fulfilled, strangely alone. Because mm-hmm. you're not occupying the world or relating to the world or people that you love or don't love in the world from the vantage point of the subjective, right, experiencer.
There's the, like the kind of wishing to go back, where it's like, you know, I could honestly say, yeah, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna just be part of this.
Yeah.
It's like gone. It's so gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I may participate in stuff, but it's so different.
Yeah.
There's no. It just doesn't have that. It doesn't have the Velcro that it used to have.
No. Mm-hmm. Autonomy catches up with you. It sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
And therefore the way that you participate in what life appears to be, that means participate with yourself, participate with others, you know, intimate and otherwise.
Yeah.
Participate with, you know, the icons that seem to fill your right experiential space. No, it's all very strange. And you can't send a postcard home.
That's really sad.
I know. It is. Yeah.
You can't, like, rewind it. You can't go back.
No.
It's like I've been sort of trying to go back. It doesn't really work.
Why not? It's worth a try. Run like hell.
Doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Unfortunately, it doesn't work.
I like the Peter Brown's metaphor for the myth of Narcissus.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really thought of that, but it makes perfect sense, you know.
What was it again?
This is fascinated by itself, with itself, mm-hmm. nonstop, indefatigably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're just falling into the water and just around.
Yeah, that's what we have. I mean, this fuzz is this, you could say, you know, the presence of immersion. And immersion is not something being immersed in something else. Immersion is non-dual. That's really strange, that the aperture, window, or presence of interest and attention, of affection, of curiosity and novelty, is overcome by itself. That's the revelation. That's the discovery, which is already the case. It's, you know, we don't have far to go. Not a lot of walls have to be torn down between here and here. Not too much purification. We would have failed anyway by now. Even if we were aiming for purification, we would have failed miserable. Mm-hmm. Shit, you watch Randy shows on Netflix.
I know, I'm going straight to hell.
You're going straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect 200 shekels. whatever restlessness or rhythm or justification or story or interest or, you know, commitment or avoidance comes up during the so-called day, I mean, who gives a fuck? You know, it's just entertaining itself. You could say it's entertaining itself, but you're at your expense. Or you could say it's entertaining itself, not at my expense.
I think Paul said that, too, in that interview, too. I think he made reference to it being a form of entertainment.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like HBO on demand, you know.
Isn't it? It's on demand. It's on demand, and you're not in control of the demand.
You got a free month of HBO. On
or the clicker.
I've been so fucking fast. It's like,
yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, why did I do that?
Implication, impulse, behavior happens too fast.
I can't believe I'm such a fucktard.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a fucktard and you're wore through your brakes.
Wow.
No, it's just part of the nature sound.
Yeah, it's the nature sound.
Cattle grazing.
The hum
that's right.
of the universe.
Crickets so sounds like and chips. Sweet potato chips.
What exactly did you do when you were, like, set the dogs on fire when you were blowing their hair dry or something? You keep referencing your...
We want to hear about your crappy
undignified
day.
Undignified day.
Yeah.
You've been blow drying
act it out for us.
Nothing. It's just kind of a series of ridiculously random events that were just like, just unpleasant. You know what I mean? Like people were just like, I'd really appreciate it if you never came here again. I'm like, okay.
<That's>
Yeah.
And then yeah, the impulse to want to like, you know, be like, yeah, person's such an asshole. It's like, dude, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, something happened that appeared to involve me, but I don't know anything about it.
All the instances, nothing actually happened. They were all like something, like the people were angry because something could have happened.
Ah, right. Yeah.
It was really funny. I'm like, nothing even happened.
Nothing, you were like,
no, nothing happened.
You could have killed all our fruit trees with your bad breath.
Yeah, anything. I mean, I don't know. It was just funny. Everyone was just like, but it could have happened.
You didn't, like, set up a meth lab in anybody's house or anything.
No.
Walter White.
Like me and Fred stumbling through someone's yard at night. I'm like, oh.
You got scolded for that? I hate getting scolded.
We got scolded.
Oh, I don't like getting scolded.
Mm.
I'm afraid to stay out of trouble at all times.
Chicken.
I didn't even know it was their yard. You know what I mean? It was funny. It was just like, I just... And the timing, when you see the timing, how impeccable it all is, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. We couldn't have staged this any better than that.
You were set up.
You're always set up.
You're always set up.
Always set up.
Yeah.
You're always set up, so this could humiliate you to the bone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like really. When you're in a hurry and then some car pulls in front of you, and then it's like... Well, that's another
thing that was really funny.
Yeah, really.
School.
Yeah, you try driving around someone and you run over a squirrel.
Argument with the guy driving the school student's van, and he like honked really loud as I was going in my driveway.
Oh, no. You were just the butt of everyone's bad day.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Francie was making an impression on Percocy.
I know, that's what I felt like. I was like, welcome to the neighborhood. Everybody's probably like, do you see that girl with the pitbull running around?
She's out of control.
Oh, the housing values are starting to drop ever since she moved in as a renter.
Thank you.
the ground of being is perfectly at rest while it's effusing.
So the ground of being is the fuzz.
Yes. It's the fuzz. Cheese it, the fuzz. Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't they just say so?
I don't know. Would have been so much easier, yeah. Like on the wailing wall, you know?
We need an official lexicon for this discussion.
On the wailing wall. Look, dudes, the fuzz. Perfectly at rest. While diffusing nonstop. Just everyone relax.
It was a fun ride. The buck stops here.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. You want to discover that it's possible just to rest in perfect ambiguity. You know, you can be intimidated by that, right? A little afraid, loss of control. What's going to happen to you if you let go of the steering wheel that's not connected to anything anyway? That's kind of weird, you know? But still, you know, there's a bracing, there's a reflex. It's like, whoa, I mean, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about, but maybe somehow I think I have some idea of what it is you're talking about, and I'm afraid. You know, there's bracing, there's a reflex, or some kind of thing. And fuck you. Who cares? I mean, the fear is unsubstantiated. You know, it's made up. It's like it's kind of has a mythical archetypal basis, mm-hmm. Right? Loss of control, total failure, right? Inability to plan, inability to satisfy yourself, right? That's scary as shit.
Damn, that's a huge one.
Absolutely.
Huge.
Yeah.
I'm more afraid of the
dissatisfaction
inside of myself than anything else.
Yeah.
I terrorize myself.
Yeah, well, you know, you're the best person you know.
How lousy is it going to be? How bad is my attitude going to be the next moment?
Yeah, sure. You're welcome too, right? Effusing with this effusing. And these patterns, you know, they kind of characterize what we might call our persona, our astrological chart, our Enneagram, our, you know, you name it, our dosha, Masala dosha, can look like anything. But then we become curiously enamored of ourselves so much that we want to remedy ourselves. We want to remedy what it is that we think is wrong with ourselves. As if we're kind of special or unique in a way that I have to remedy what I think it is that's bothering me. But you're just a randomization of some, you know, weird fucking shit that really doesn't actually bind you. It doesn't even matter. So you can actually give yourself a break from trying to remedy, you know, the curious way that you show up. Mm-hmm. You really can. You're like, she's bananas.
Yep.
She's just bananas.
Give up the urban renewal project.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you kind of have to after a certain point. Well, you don't have to, but from this perspective, there's no remedy. This thing has been this way, as far as I can recall, forever.
Yeah, you have been forever.
Nothing I've brought to it has changed it.
No.
Much.
Yeah.
Same old refrain.
Yeah, you can't help but to be the same old refrain because you're not that. if we take up a project of trying to be that when we're not that, good luck. I mean, you will become drunk with the same old refrain until the grave, maybe beyond it. Who knows? If you're not that, whatever that means, and I don't know that I don't know what the fuck it means. I don't know what the fuck anything means. But if you're not that, then you can lose interest in presuming that you are that, and therefore have to do something about the that which you think that you are.
Just lose interest in it.
Complete interest.
That you don't have to dive into it.
Yes.
Are you different than any other of the cast of characters?
Plenty of evidence to suggest that maybe you are. Plenty of evidence to suggest no way. That's why Samsara and Nirvana are such bosom buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of evidence to say you're absolutely unique and different from every other creature, sentient or otherwise. You're a one-off. No question about it. And not untrue to suggest you're not that. There is no uniqueness.
Well, not uniqueness, but are you differentiated? I mean...
That's fun, right? You can see that this fuzz is capable of lending itself all the evidence it needs to differentiate. Absolutely. And what's at the root of the differentiation? The subjective consciousness as the enjoyer. That's occupying the body as an object.
It's a weird thing, you know, this thing.
It's a little weird.
It's weird, this sort of idiosyncrasies of the...
Yes.
Differentiation.
Yes. Yeah. 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 See, we take differentiation, the power of differentiation, we mistake that for being the arbiter of reality. For an independently existent reality. But differentiation is just mythic effusion. It's just cascading implication.
Yeah. But why do we focus on one differentiation, one particulate, and think that's who we are?
Well, it's funny. You think you do, but you don't.
Yeah. Well, it seems like everybody who comes in, into whatever this is, it's sort of, there's definitely repeating sort of thematic patterning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean,
that's right, yep, repeating thematic patterning.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it is kind of confusing about who's who and what's what and
kind
who's
of.
Experiencing what.
I mean, it's totally confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to try to make sense of the... wild way that this effuses and implies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy making. You can't make sense of it. The psychiatrists haven't done it. Mm-hmm. The sociologists haven't. The anthropologists haven't. The gurus haven't. The politicians haven't. The Pope hasn't. The physicists sure as fuck haven't. You're here at the precipice of and of the nature of an unabated chaos, which can still foment and imply a consciousness that recognizes patterns and can put together or co-create, if we want to go, you know, Abraham Hicks on it, a durable, pre-existing, independently occurring, stable reality. There is none. But you can stub your toe. Right? So form, right, is crystal. It's crystalline. And it borrows from all of the, you know, range of elements that scientists refer to as elements here on Earth, right, as a cogent field of ambiently occurring water that becomes a soup for the conglomeration and specificity and differentiation of all of these crystalline forms as elements and make it look like some kind of individuated animating force is walking around, you know, as a terrestrial creature, pissing everybody off in Percocet. With her sidekick, the Fred the Pitbull. It's enough to make you want to lay down.
Yeah. Pretty much. I'm done.
Call this club fantasy. Right? Instead of getting together and lamenting like they will at a 12-step meeting, right? About all the shit that's pissing them off and all the resentments that they're harboring and all the resentments that they've cleared, right? And all of these kind of pedestrian patterns that are trying to, you know, evoke and secure sobriety. You know, it's a me fest. This is club fantasy. Nobody gives a fuck how you feel about anything. It's so warm and fuzzy. No one gives a fuck how you feel about anything. No one cares what happened in your day or how you feel about it. If that's not a relief.
No shiny eye. We love you. Kumbaya here.
Yeah, really.
Thank God.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they're not going to do any fucking angel washings. Netty netty on the angel washings.
I had a friend that...
I love everybody, but not too close.
I had a friend that seriously into angels.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't talked to her in a long time.
You know, you think if someone were serious into angels, it wouldn't take all that long for them to become unserious about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can maintain seriousness about angels, you've never met one.
Yeah.
Meet one angel... all seriousness goes, collapses. One angel. You don't even have to see the angel. You can smell an angel's fart, and your life will change. You can't be serious about anything ever again just by smelling an angel's fart.
She's been through a tough time. I'm like, well, aren't you pissed at those angels? Did you get pissed at them?
Yeah, really.
She never called back.
No, no. That friendship's over. Yeah. Aren't you mad at those angels? Well, I can't be mad at my angels. Yeah. You're a cow.
This friendship's over.
This friendship's over. How dare you make fun of my angels or suggest that they could be responsible for my ill will, my bad luck. It's terrible. La 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 la. Lose my cell phone. Yeah, some guy was talking about his avatar and all the cool shit his avatar did. His avatar guru. You know, there was a bus and a car, and they were about to hit, and everyone was going to die, and the car dematerialized and ended up on the back of the bus, and the guru was just like, har, har, har. You know, one of those avatar things. Or, you know, someone was raised from the dead, or, you know, someone like Francine got a job. I mean, real big miracles. Serious miracles.
I didn't know really got a job, necessarily.
And, you know, and so, I mean, I looked at him, and I was like, yeah, well, has your avatar assisted you with your awakening? You know, where's the deliverable for the avatar? Listen, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people die each day or are born. You know, what's your avatar doing about that? I mean, face it, your avatar's got nothing. A couple of people in a Volkswagen ended up on the other side of a bus, big deal. Next week, they'll all be dead. From natural causes. Your avatar is not going to follow those people around for the rest of his life to make sure that their life doesn't end up in the fucking maggot crapper. So fuck you and your fucking avatar. With all due respect, I love avatars. I mean, they're the best. But you see, we create these absurd loyalties to what we think is extrasensory, extra physics, right? Extra, extra, extra. I mean, how many people worship, you know, Sai Baba for creating vibhuti and water and pearls and, you know, watches? Right? And then insisting upon, you know, fellatio with underage boys. What a wonderful avatar! Come on.
There's nothing wrong with fellatio with underage boys.
I don't think so.
Yeah. What's your problem?
No, yeah, no, it's my mistake. If you're an underage boy or an underage girl, if you're an adult man imposing some kind of fellatio on underage boys, punishable by applause. I don't know.
We are required to call that into improper form.
Yeah, as a therapist, you're required to call it in. Oh, that's right. Absolutely required to call it in.
I'll be like,
well, there were people.
I got this guru in India.
People did call it in.
Yeah.
A bunch of people called it in, and the Sai Baba organization, including Carolyn Meese and other apologists, just, you know, went into aggressive denial.
About Sai Baba?
Yeah.
They actually like called it into some sort of like child welfare in India or something?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think they had, you know, some authorities or whatever were brought in, blah, blah, blah. And Sai Baba, of course, knew the chief of police and probably healed his wife from a serious illness. And there was no way anyone within 3,000 miles of Sai Baba was going to take him down for those allegations. Mm-hmm. The avatar is well connected.
He was like the Sandusky of...
Untouchable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to be like that someday.
How many years ago was it?
You're going to need a much bigger organ.
I don't know. It occurred over some number of years.
And you have to develop an interest in boys.
So much has to happen in order for me to be exactly like Sai Baba. My hair's gone, but I could get an Afro wig.
You got the beginnings of a hair of
mine. Oh, that guy looks like Bozo the Clown.
That's right. There you go. That's him.
Well, you got that down. That part you got. Right.
I'm looking for that. You store, but then I didn't bring it.
Keep up the good work.
But Caroline Mace was outraged for him or against him?
For him.
For
eating. That lady's nuts.
She's harsh, isn't she?
She's crazy.
She's impossible to read.
Yeah. Well, listen, I hope you've learned a lot by being here at this evening's program.
I have a lot of takeaway tonight.
A lot of takeaway. There's so much to remember and bring home. So valuable.
Home and wake the fuck up.
There you go.
Plan.
That's right.
Yeah, it's always hard to know like what happened here, and then we have this recording thing. So
that doesn't help either.
It doesn't actually help.
Some of them.
I didn't listen. I used to listen. I'm listening lately, but yeah, it's bad. You're like, did I say that? What does that mean?
How the hell would you listen to it twice? I always try to go for one that I haven't been at, and I keep showing up.
Well, they're like brand.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, you can't remember that you were even there or that anything was said.
I get that now. Or like you think, like, I had a big revelation. I want to hear if I can hear that again.
I know.
Yeah, you'll never feel it. I know, yeah.
I know.
Hey, that's me having a revelation, but I'm not having it now.
Well, that's why I like to listen to the ones of myself, because I'm like, what? Yeah, like whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or the ones where...
I can't even remember what I was... I'm like,
like you don't remember.
I have a point.
Abducted by UFO, you don't remember. So it's like, well, I want to hear because I don't remember.
Really?
But then those things never make it to cut.
That's right. All I can feel is that fuzzy warmth in my hindquarters. But otherwise, I have no memory of what happened. We'll see you at the picnic.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay.
You know, the calendar still says, I think, inquiry. But I'm not sure.
I changed it.
Oh, good.
Oh, I updated it. Wow.
We don't want to be hanging out.
It
can happen. I mean, the email said that, but things change, so that's why that was the idea. The calendar is the meow. Yeah, it's pretty easy to update, so it works nice.
These things are like crap.
All right, thanks for coming.
All the food's laced with
good luck. You look like a total failure leaving the room.
Usually,
yeah, things are looking up. All right, are we done with this? All right, we're done. Hey, listen, everyone, thanks for being with us tonight.